Certainly, God, we recognize that your sovereign power, your love for us, your compassion and your care for us is the reason why we are here. It is not because we have taken a good diet or because we employed certain preventive measures, but simply because you have determined it to be so. In fact, Lord, the Bible reminds us that when our enemies rose up against us, Lord, you conquered them for us. You told us that you loved us and you have proven it daily. And so now, Lord, again, we've come to say thank you. We've come to learn more and to live more. We've come, Lord, that we might be a shining light in a dark world. We've come that our salt would not lose its flavor. We've come, Lord, that our strength be renewed. And for those few things we've mentioned already, it's more than praiseworthy. In fact, Lord, we declare again as one voice, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, what would have become of us? And so, God, again, we just want to go public and acknowledge that we love you and we're very thankful. We're grateful that you have done this in our lives. For our sons and our daughters, our husbands and our wives, for our family, our friends, and even the stranger, you have done this in our lives. That people will see, know, and believe that Jesus is Lord of our life. God, again, would you make learning easy for us? These words come off the pages of our Bible, just penetrate us in our hearts and our minds and our souls, that we will live as oracles of God, that when we walk, people will see the word. When we talk, they'll hear the word. And so, God, word is life for us. And we just pray, God, these few prayers that you would not only hear, but we know that you'll answer. And deliver us, Lord, from the sin that so easily besets us. In fact, the Hebrew writer said that we have to run and not get entangled. And God, give us the wherewithal to run, to flee, to fight. But more than these, Lord, give us the faith that it takes to win the day. Again, God, thank you for these who have gathered and pray, God, that others would take interest and join with us along the way. And that not only are we a remnant, but Lord, that we are a strong remnant. Yes. And we pray these prayers that certainly, God, you will. And we know that you will. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you. Last time that we were together, we gave you seven critical attainments to go after, seven critical things that you had to not only face, but overcome. And I want to just give you a quick reminder of those, and then we're going to talk about seven other things that we ought to do. These were seven things that I warned you not to let happen to you, not to do. And then we're going to get into seven new things. Let's go first to, as we get ready to learn today, First Chronicles chapter 16 in the Old Testament of your Bible. First Chronicles chapter 16 in the Old Testament of your Bible. Now, if you get the Second Chronicles, back up one. You can't find it, go to the table of contents, and that'll help you. Because, again, there's no shame in having to navigate in the book of light. I will tell you that what's important for us, in order to really become a good Christian disciple, you got to be able to read. That's critical. Now, again, all of us don't read the same. That's part of the reason why God gave you pastors, so there'll be some uniformity in the house. You know, you probably had it happen to you before. I know Mrs. Price, Deacon Davis, and a couple others of you are educators. You know, you send kids home with an assignment, and they read it best they can, and they get back to school and realize there was some comprehensive issues. They didn't get it, so you have to make clarity. And that's my job. That's what I love about being the pastor. I can kind of make it plain. But you got to do some reading on your own. You know, you got to go home and you got to take some time to read the Word of God. Because when you get here, if you can't find First Chronicles, I can't help you. No, I'm serious. I mean, you know, I said this to you beginning of this year, that I really realized that we're kind of forcing our hand to go back to the elementary things. You know, and Paul faced that with a couple of churches too. And I thought it not robbery to do it. I think it's important that we have clarity and that we be uniformed and have a sense of commonality. So house divided is not going to stand. And so we got to kind of find a way to be uniform and be a union of believers. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, I want to lift up this at verse 10. This is what he says. He says, "Exalt in his holy name, O worshipers of the Lord, rejoice." Watch this now. "Search for the Lord and his strength and keep on searching. Think," that's your mind. You know what we say around here, if we can change the way you think, we're going to change the way you live. So think on this. Think of the wonderful works. Lots of works, right? I think we'd all have to admit that God has done a lot, a boatload in our lives. Think of the works. Think of the wonderful works he has done, the miracles and the judgments he handed down. O children of Israel, God's servant, O descendants of Jacob, God's chosen one. Now, again, let's be honest with ourselves and admit this. We're not worth anything without the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Amen. Y'all did a little better on that. I think we got just about everybody. But we'll say it again. Let's just be honest and admit. Ain't no need to try to act like this ain't the truth. We're nothing without the Lord.
Amen.
Nothing. And you know, most of us, minus the three little walkers there probably, I don't see enough, and the little boy there, we were rascals at one time or another. Some of us still got rascal on our resume. You know, we haven't always been wonderful. You know, we're still working our way through. Amen? And so what he says is important for us to reflect on the fact that God has done this. You know, this is the work of the Lord in you. You know, and when you walk around, and I've said this to you before and I'll say it to you again, you better be careful what comes out of your mouth. Don't worry about what we hear or don't hear. Any of y'all remember mumbling under your breath so mama or grandma wouldn't hear you? And she said, "What'd you say?" You know, good God almighty. You know, that's before the bionic woman came out with that hearing, you know. But God hears everything. He knows your inner thoughts. That'll scare some of us. Let's do this. Just for just next few seconds. You know, you sisters, and there's some sisters, there's a mom and a son, there's a grandson, a grandma. Okay, you sit here and think for just a minute. Just take a moment and do it. If the person sitting next to you knew everything you were thinking for the last 24 hours, that would change some stuff, wouldn't it? But God does. God knows everything you've been thinking, everything you're thinking now, everything you, and he knows, and yet, my Lord, yet he still calls you his own. How many of you know that if folk knew what you were thinking about them, they wouldn't be your friend no more? You and your sister might come unbenefited. The deacon and the minister wouldn't ride in the same truck no more. You know how much your life would change if the person sitting next to you knew what you had been thinking for the last 24 hours, or what you're thinking even right now? They would look at you and say, "Good God almighty." How many of you know that? But you have a God who knows everything about you. All that you could ask, think, or imagine, and he still loves you. He still allows you to eat his food, live in his house, drive his car, spend his money. You know, he still lets you, you know that old song we sang back in church, you didn't have to let me live. Didn't have to, that's God. But he says, I want you to think. I want you to think of the wonderful things that God has done. The wonderful works. Let me give you this one. The greatest work that the Lord will ever do in your life has nothing to do with how much money you make, what kind of car you drive, how popular you are. You know what the greatest work is? Salvation. And I don't think we understand that. I don't know if we take full measure of that. Being saved is praiseworthy. God saved us. See, that don't do nothing for us. I mean, I'm waiting. There ought to be a hallelujah in there, a hand wave. We ought not just take that casual. We're saved. Woo! Yeah, that ought to be something that come out right there. And, you know, we sit around sometimes trying to fit into the decorum of the room. You know, we try to. No, I'm telling you now, Grandma was right. Every time you think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he has done for you, my soul cries out, hallelujah. There ought to always be a hallelujah. Impromptu, unrehearsed, it ought to just come out. And you ought not look around and see who saw you say hallelujah. In fact, what you ought to do is say, you ain't got no hallelujah, this one for you. Hallelujah. I know your children. Hallelujah. I know your husband. Hallelujah. I know where you work. Hallelujah. I know what you drive. Hallelujah. God's been good to us. He said, I want y'all to think on the wonderful works, but more than anything, think on your salvation. You could have been dead and sleeping in your grave. And don't think folk don't die early. Don't think because you're young that you're going to be here. We're all on the same schedule, one day at a time. He said, you think on that. How many of you remember growing up, and I know this is old school, so, you know, Jasmine, Raven, y'all might not have heard this one. How many remember Grandma or somebody saying, you better go sit down and think about it. You better go think about it. And, you know, when they told you to go sit down and think about it, you didn't go back outside and play. You went and sat down. Even if you pretended to be thinking about it, you sit there a little while. And sometimes they come back and check and say, I know you ain't going nowhere yet. You got to keep your mind on what's important. And so, as we said a few weeks ago, there are things that we should not be doing. But there are things that we ought to be doing. And one of the critical things we ought to be doing is thinking. Thinking. And we can't make our lives simply about songs. Our life must be about a constitution that is based on learning, living, loyalty, and leadership. Please write those down because I didn't see you do it. Learning, listening, living, you know, loyalty, and leadership. That's five, ain't it? Please write those down. Because, you know, the day you stop learning, you start dying. The day you stop listening, you start dying. When you can't be told nothing, when you're your own device, your own motivation, your own authority, you're not under leadership. And the world ain't yours. The world is his. And one of the things that he told the church when he talked to Moses and sent Moses back down, this is what he said. You tell them to follow all my commands. So we don't like that Bible version, but that's what he said. Not some of them. He said, and you tell them to follow me. Not go their own way. I don't know who it is, Jess Harmony. Y'all might know. There's a song. You can go your own way. Yeah, Jess, you can't say that. We on the air sometime. Are we on the air today? Jess, you can't say that. You didn't hear that when she said that, did you? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can't afford no lawsuits. Deacon McKenzie, our insurance don't cover scandal or nothing like that, do it. Yes, we're living in political, yeah, that word, correct times. That just stopped right there. Okay, hit the pause button. Anyway, there's a song, Deacon Walker, that says you can go your own way. That is not a church song. I think it might be the Eagles or somebody like that. But anyway, my point is this. Just stop. My point is this. You're not under your own authority. We're under the authority of God. And we need not forget that. I don't care how modern the church has become. I don't care how millennial-minded we are or how well-versed we may think we are. You are still under the authority. And here's one that's a free one. The pastor is the Lord's agent on site. Don't be bucking me. I feel that one. I'm the Lord's man on station. I'm going to give a full and factual report. And even if I forget some things, he notices. See, I'm not going to be able to cover for you. How many of y'all ever had somebody say, cover for me? And it usually backfires, doesn't it? Clock me in from lunch. Cover for me. Go to my... No, you can't cover for folks. How many of you ever discovered covering for them uncovers you? Anybody ever had somebody ask you to lie for them? And then they remind you you're a Christian? You know it's a test, don't you? You got to remember, beloved of God, that all of us have to be loyal to God. Okay? The Hebrew writer puts it this way. He is the author and finisher. He is what makes us. That requires loyalty. Am I right? Think about loyalty. What does it mean to you? How many of you want people to be loyal to you? Amen. How many of y'all have arthritis in y'all shoulders or elbows or something like that? Because when I ask questions, none of y'all hands go up. Some of y'all must have chronic arthritis or something. You got a medicine for that at the hospital, some kind of rub. Bring us some of that next week. I need your response. Here's what, you know, Raven's getting married in a little while. I was looking on my refrigerator. I have your save the date thing. Nice pictures there, out there somewhere where people take pictures at. And I said to myself, man, you know, I get excited. Weddings excite me. I like, you know, performing people's marriages and stuff. There's people I like, and I like Raven. You know, there are people I've married that, well, okay, hit the pause button on this. But anyway, my point, I was looking, I thought to myself, their whole future starts on this date, September the 24th. Is that right? I think I got it right. Their whole life. And I was thinking again about this lesson. You know, for me, everything is teaching and preaching. And I knew when I got to this loyalty thing, I wanted to use you as a just kind of a setup thing. If you're not going to be loyal, don't get married. If you don't think he can be loyal, don't marry him. And the same thing applies in the body of Christ. Some of us need to really concern ourselves about our loyalty to God, and whether it has been evident or not, or whether we have been exposed for the lack thereof. I don't want to get distracted right along through here, but the last couple of weeks have not encouraged me regarding our loyalty. I'm trying not to get distracted, but I think y'all kind of see where this might be going. And if you can see where it's going, hang around for the sermon today. You understand that this is what the Lord requires? This ain't me. We don't have any authority to reconstitute the church. I know some of you saying, what is he saying? We cannot write our way out of obedience to the scripture by trying to write ourselves some leisure escapes from the scripture. One of the most tragic escapes that I constantly hear from people is, but the Lord knows my heart. And that's the point. You really need to think about that, because as I just gave you a point earlier, everything you think, God knows. Every motive you have, God knows. Every lack thereof, every excuse, every temptation, God looks at you and says, Can I tell you what you need to realize is you're the only one still learning you. God already knows you. You might not remember that. You're just learning you. How many of you have ever surprised yourself? How many of you have ever disappointed yourself? How many of you have ever felt like I can't be in my right mind? Just keep living. Learning. Listening. Living. Loyalty. And leadership. Critical things. And you need to think about those things. You need to ask yourself, am I learning? I always get impressed when people come to me and say, tell me about your church, Reverend Mitchell. Can I learn? Can I grow? That's really your question to ask yourself. Because I know I can teach, but I know where I teach at. See, you need to come here. Don't be trying to meet me in no Kroger. I don't mind doing it, but I mean, you when people ask me that, if everybody who has asked me about the Greater Brookville Church focus, vision, ministry, and all that kind of stuff showed up, we'd build a church. But people don't want to learn. I'll tell you why. They don't want to be led. We all think we're independent contractors. No, you're not. The Bible says you are not your own. Look at your name and tell them, you don't belong to you. Thank you. You belong to God. And tell them, you don't belong to me. You don't belong to the pastor. You don't belong to the deacons. You don't belong to the ministers. You belong to God. Did I make my point? You can't be picking and choosing because you think you belong to me. You don't belong to me. You belong to God. And when God opens his doors, you need to be in God's house. You don't need to scan the parking lot. You don't need to peep down the hall. You belong to God. If, in fact, you really belong to God. You got to be led. You got to be loyal. You got to learn. Learn of who is he talking about? Come on, talk back to me. He didn't say learn of Leroy, learn of Larry, learn of Starling, learn of Wanda, learn of Vicky. Learn of, who's he talking about? Come on, everybody, talk to me. He's talking about himself. Who is himself? Say his name. So let's stop playing these silly little games around here about picking and choosing. Think. There is nothing more important in your life than keeping God first. Love that young fella. Love your sister. Love your children. Love those babies. You got a wonderful family. I pray for you all quite often. I mean, seriously, I really do. I call y'all names. Y'all got 5 kids. I ain't got no money for you, but I can give you my prayers. And here's why. Because first of all, you have 3 men in your family, not besides your husband. That's the future. If those guys collapse, because he collapsed, we got problems. I pray for the McKenzies. I love Darren and Cameron. I pray for your grandson. You know, I was following you on Facebook the other day, and you dropped him off at school, and I thought to myself, that young man needs my prayers. You know. Sean, I'm proud of him. I'm probably more excited about Sean than his mother is. I've watched Sean. She said no, didn't she? The Lord said, look over there right quick. Well, we competing for excitement. You know, I pray for you, the men in y'all's lives, for your husband, Sister Rosa, for your brother, Sister Carolyn, you know, for your husband, Sister Audrey, for men like Tom Butterfield. You know, I'm praying. Because if we don't have men who love God, who are loyal, who are learning, who are listening, who are led, who have leadership, we are in trouble. And the trouble is at our door. See? And if our minds are so polluted by things that are not the thing, you know what that means. Make the thing the thing. The thing is the thing. What is the thing? Lift up and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve the Lord with gladness. Be faithful unto him. You know, I can run these all day long, but don't get distracted. That's what he told the Hebrew church. He said, listen, don't get so easily distracted. Don't let things stop you from being what God has already called you. You are all predestined. It has already been decided. The only thing that can corrupt that is you. If you ain't feeling it, it's because you ain't working it. God already loves you, no matter what you do. How many of you know you've disappointed God? More than once a day. How many of you know that even though you disappointed God, he still loves you? Still kissing you on the face, putting his arm around. Those of you who've been in love know that love changes sometimes, doesn't it? You know, one day we riding in the car holding hands together. You sitting way over here on the same side I'm on. You know, we drinking one milkshake with two straws. And then late in the afternoon, you over there and I'm over here. And we riding our street. And you seem to think everything on the right side of the highway is more important. You know, that happens, doesn't it? Anybody ever had that happen? You know, what that lady say, sleeping single in a double bed? You know, we done all been down that road. You know, love changes, doesn't it? Especially in the human frame. But how many know God ain't like that? God ain't like that. You know, there's an old poem that they put on a poster board there. It says, if you feel distant from God, guess who moved? God, I heard him say, I'll never leave you. And I won't forsake. Sometimes there have been times in my life, I don't know about y'all, but let me tell on me first. There have been times in my life when I wish God wasn't there to see some of the stuff. Come on, talk back to me. I ain't saying y'all got to raise your hand this time. I'm just going to tell on me. He said, I'll never leave you. And I'm like, God, you can go here for a few minutes whilst I make this little run. Come on, talk back to me. God, I'm just going to make a little run. You go on and get you some rest. I'll be back in about an hour. Ain't nobody else going to talk about that, huh? Thank you. But he said, I'll never leave you. I'd be like, come on, God, you, it's hot out there. You don't need to go, not today, Lord. Go on over there with the other deacons and, you know. And here's what he's saying. I'm loyal to you. I love you. That's number six. You got to learn love. Think about love. Not in the touchy-feely, kissing, hugging kind. I'm talking about the love that is Christ Jesus. The one that Paul was talking about when he said, what shall separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus? That's where you find real love at. Can I help you with this one? Until you find love in him, you ain't going to be able to love nobody. Not like they deserve to be loved. I'm so proud of you. I can't wait till your wedding day comes. And y'all having a reception at a fancy place, aren't you? I said, I'm not going way up there. No, I'm just kidding. It's going to cost extra for me to come way up there. But, you know, my point is simply this. We don't understand what it means to love in Christ Jesus. That's why we mess up love all the time. How many of you know that one of the greatest regrets that most people have in their life is a love issue? Do you know that? That's why people fall in coffins and push flowers down at funerals, because they messed up love. That's why sisters don't call brothers, and brothers don't call sisters, and the phone don't ring, and we ain't got no letter, and we mad at who get what at the end, because of love. What does love do? Cover a multitude. That's why the church is so judgmental, because we don't want to let love cover a multitude. Everybody sins. Look at your name and say, you too. Look back and say, and you too. We're looking at me trying to signify. But love will cover that. That's why we don't need to vote people out. We don't need to put nobody on silent. We don't need to take nobody position. We ain't got enough people around here to serve them anyway. They ought to set brother so-and-so down. He got caught up. How about we lift him up? The Bible says you who have been restored ought to be the one doing the restoring. And some of us like we ain't never been restored. We ain't never been forgiven. You who have been forgiven ought to be the first line of defense to forgive somebody else. And don't act like you ain't never done nothing. Don't say you have to condone it, but you ought to love them. And don't be walking around talking about, I feel sorry for you. Nobody needs you to feel sorry for them. You know how much feeling sorry for people amount to? Not a hill of beans. But you ought to say is, I love you. And we going to be all right. Do you know until your brother and sister are healed, you still sick? Ask Ms. Raven about infectious disease and how quickly they travel. How does it happen? One person is sick and does not heal. And then another person sick. And then before you know it, we all contaminated. Sin will do that. Unforgiveness will do that. Grudges. Hate. It'll do that. It'll kill a church. It'll kill a family. How many of you know families that are in distress right now because they can't love each other? They won't forgive each other. One got sick and everybody, instead of healing that one, picked that one and picked that one, and then sickness took over the whole family. It'll happen in a church. You have churches that are still regretting issues from 1980. How many of y'all saw the movie High Plains Drifter? It's a Clint Eastwood movie. Sheriff Duncan, you know, they stood back and let him get beat up and tow up in the street, and then he came back. They tried to act like they didn't know who he was. Just like saying Clint Eastwood to me. But my point is this, they didn't do the right thing. And so he came back to haunt them. And they suffered for it. And that's the same thing. It's moving, but it's a stretch. But you can see what I'm trying to tell you. If you don't do it right the first time, it don't go away. It's always there until you do it right. And every one of us needs to understand that learning and listening and loyalty and leadership and love and living, those things are undetachable. How you living? Let your light. That's how you living. How many of you recognize that you're a light? We really need that rub. It's some elbow things. I'm not teaching to the pews, am I? I'm talking to the people. I don't expect these pews to say nothing to me. I need y'all to talk to me. You are light. Your radiance attracts people. How many of you ever gone outside and as soon as you get outside, bugs start bothering you? You don't call them. You don't go, all right, mosquitoes, I'm out here. Let's get it on. No, you light, you know, bugs, they just come to you. You're attractive like that. When you walk in the grass, that's when you stir up the nets. You know, they're there. It's your walking in the grass that makes them kind of go, oh, we got company. When you sit outside, when you go into your job, how many of you can tell who's at work by the smell of their perfume or cologne? You know, certain people, you can say, that's so-and-so. You just know them. You know, it's familiar to you. Hairspray, or you hear certain sounds, you go, that old Sean, he here. You know, all of us create an awareness. And how much more should we be aware of the presence of God? Y'all didn't see that coming? How much, what does it take for you to know that the Lord is here? Always. That's why we shouldn't hot worship, cold worship, mediocre worship. No, we ought to always rejoice. Always be excited. Always lift up and magnify. Always exalt his name. Not waiting for a moment or waiting for a person or waiting for a sound. We are always, because Jesus is Lord. And I live in him. And I don't live dragging. I live leaping. Always abounding. That's how we live in Christ. That's how we're living. That's why we're living. That's what we're living. When Peter and John on their way to church and they stop and say, look on us. He said, it's something in us, man. You see it? How many of you have walked by people and wish you could have stopped and said, look on us? Was your light shining? Were you living Christ Jesus? You know, one of our local churches had a little bump sticker they passed out there. Folk says, not I, but Christ. Okay, that's fine. But do you see how some of them live? I've seen some bumper stickers that I want to catch up with people and say, you might want to peel that off of there. You're going to ride around with that on there. You better do something. Y'all ain't talking to me. Learning, living, listening, loyalty, love, leadership, critical things. So he said, think about it. He said, think on the wonderful works. This is beautiful. And I'm trying to move on, but I'm trying to help you. He said, who am I talking to? The worshipers of the Lord. Go back to verse 10. He's talking to worshipers. How many of you consider yourselves worshipers? Okay, you're doing better. You're doing better. Don't make me start calling y'all name when y'all don't raise y'all hand. Some of y'all friends might be out there on the internet. Listen to me. Worship is critical in the life of the believer. I think all of us want something to get excited about and something to kind of. How many of you ever gone to a concert? They still have concerts? Okay, you go to a concert. You didn't do like Marvin Gaye said. You didn't just go out and party and stand around. How many of y'all, when you went to a concert, you got ready to go to the concert? You got your stuff together. You know, if you were going to a Parliament Funkadelic concert, what's one of the things you had to carry? A flashlight. Yeah. See, just know. Back in the day, if you went to a Parliament P-Funk, as we used to call them, Funkadelic, you carried a flashlight. See? And everybody pulled them out when they start. And we couldn't wait for that song to come on. Flashlight, yeah, my spotlight, you know, and we were in it. And then that other song, that group that had one where you light the little bit, you know, I can't remember what the group was, but they had a little line where everybody took their bick out and, you know, lit and burning their finger and stuff, you know. But it was a sacrifice, you know, because we knew we were there. And so it is in the body of Christ, I think we all look for something to get us excited, and that's worship. Worship does something for us too. You know, and as much as the Bible says he inhabits the praise, that it does something for us too. You know, there's that old commercial, if you want to touch thing out, shout it out. Same thing in the body of Christ. How many of you know that there is a certain deliverance in your expression to God? There's a certain thing that kind of takes it off of you because you've worshiped. I mean, serious worship. You know, I know we all like to talk about that woman at the well. You know, we all like to talk about her when the Lord said, this is the kind my Father's looking for. He shouldn't have to look so hard, especially in his church, for worshipers. We created a thing now in the church called a worship leader. We don't need no worship leader. You know what we really need? Some followers who will worship. You know, a shepherd don't have to tell a sheep to belt. He don't have to tell them that. They know. And when they're in trouble, they belt even louder. Because they know we need help, right? Let me fix this right quick. And so you and I must understand that's who the Lord, he's saying for us to exalt him. We don't need to wait. You know, we all like this one, usually around Palm Sunday. We don't need no rock crying out for us. You know, we always like use that one. Are you a true worshiper? Amen. No, in every sense of the matter, are you a true? See, because no matter what I say, unless it's genuine to you, it doesn't mean anything to him. I pray for y'all. I really do. Earnestly, I do, and whether you feel it or not, I do. But I can't make it genuine until you make it genuine. I can't make excuses about you to God. I can't say, well, Lord, it was cold that day. Somebody said something. You know, I listen to everything people say to me, and I've told y'all before, be careful what you say to me, because I turn it into teaching. But somebody said to me early this morning that thus and thus said, if it don't rain. So God stops being God because it rains. We don't have to come worship God because it rains. The Bible says you got to press toward the mark. I don't care what the weather is. Go to church. It's the Lord's day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. See, you said that. Then we ought to see that. Y'all remember that sermon I preached a long time ago, what you say is what we ought to see? Y'all remember that? Some of y'all don't remember. Some of y'all do. But that's what I'm telling. What you say is what we ought to see. If you say you're loyal, if you say you're a learner, if you say you're a listener, if you say you're a lover, we ought to see that. You got to do more than just say it. You got to show it. You got to more than just do it. Y'all know that's a song, don't you? That's what God requires. And this ain't me. This ain't the Constitution. Again, we don't need to constitute the church again. We just need to be loyal to the Word of God. Let's just do what the book said. We don't need a new set of bylaws. We don't need to put a rule in and say, if you're going to be a deacon, you got to come to Bible study. We shouldn't have to write that. We shouldn't have to write into the constitution of a church how the people of God ought to respond to a loving and faithful God, especially when they call themselves servants of God. And everybody has been called to be a servant of God. Y'all getting quiet. So worship. What does worship look like? You tell me. What does it sound like? You tell me. We don't need to script the church. We ought to be always off the script. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in charge. And the Holy Spirit may do anything. He leads and he guides. What we need to stop doing is resisting and rebelling. Remember the seven things I told you not to do. One of them was to renege. Don't renege on God. You can't walk around here saying, I promise him that I will serve him till I die, and don't serve him till you die. Ain't no retirement program in the church. Ain't no off Sundays. We need our choir every Sunday, all of them. We need all our ushers, all our ministers, all our deacons, all our trustees, all of the sheep need to be in the pen at the designated time. How many of you remember getting in trouble for not making it home in time? Thank you. Didn't go well, did it? Lost some privileges. Some of us paid skin deposits. You know, I grew up in a time, and you might have to hit the pause button on this one, keep my parents out of jail, but I grew up in a time when my parents were proud to let other folks see that you got a whooping. You didn't get to put on no long britches. Mama said, now get on out there. And you get to your aunt's house, and they said, ooh, what have you? I tore it up. You know, before you can even answer, your mom and daddy just like, I got me some of that. My dad used to say he's going to get the butter from the duck. Now, I don't know what duck butter looked like, but I gave up a lot of it. I mean, parents were proud to let you know. And I said, what in the world? Mm-hmm. That's my work right there. And there's more where that come from. You know, you'd be like, and so, you know, and so what does worship look like? What does it sound like? What is God going to say to us when we stand before him in regards to our worship? I know what he did say. He said, this people praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Don't you let God condemn you with that one. Because what comes out of your mouth is a lot about what's in your heart. What your hands do has a lot to do with your heart. Where your feet go. Come on, let me show you. Again, and let's go back to that love thing. Because we did things for love. What you won't do for love. That's why some of us stayed out late, went all the way across town, sacrificed job, because we were in love. Our feet followed our heart. Our hands followed our heart. You know, we were so in love that we couldn't help ourselves because our heart was gone. Didn't I blow your mind this time? Didn't I? Our heart, that same attraction, that same affiliation, that same aggressiveness ought to apply to God. I just love him. That's why I'm going when it's raining and snowing and cold. I don't care who preaching. I'm going to hear a word. If I don't hear a word from the pulpit, I just keep reading my Bible the whole service. I've done that. Been in churches where the preacher wasn't hitting it too good. I took my Bible out and kept reading. Lord, help him. Her. But I'm here, Lord. And I'm not going to get distracted in your house. How many of you drive cars? How many of you have been driving and get distracted, almost had an accident? How many of you had an accident because you were distracted? Thank you, honest people. That's right. You have to admit that. When the police came, you said it was a deer. You know, when I was a trooper, I always knew when people weren't paying attention. First thing they said, some kind of animal ran out in front. Was it a unicorn? Was it a giraffe? You know, I give them choices. And some of them, you know, one lady one time said that she saw a rhinoceros. Because she described me was a rhinoceros. She said it had a horn sticking out his nose, and it was really big. I said, ma'am, that's a rhinoceros. Yeah, that's what it was. What'd you give me a ticket for? Distracted driving. And so what happens to us is our worship gives us away, or the lack thereof. So he says, oh, you worshipers. Now, the first thing he says is exalt. But he's talking to a particular people, worshipers. People who don't exalt the Lord aren't worshipers. People who won't are not worshipers. You can't fake it. Either you are or you're not, but you can become. How? By learning. You know, worship is a learned behavior. You learn how to worship. There are churches now where they have tongue rooms and prophet rooms, and they teach you how to dance and all that kind of thing. Okay, well, I don't know where to really make my argument against that. Not really. I don't know. I don't know why. Who's to say? I mean, we train people to do everything else. I don't know. Maybe they feel desperate. Maybe there's not enough evidence that people are genuinely getting it, so they want to help them along. I don't know. But what I do know is what he said. And I know he didn't change his mind about that. As I said, you shouldn't renege on him because he hadn't reneged on you. God is keeping every promise that God ever made. All the way back to Abraham's covenant. When he looked at Abraham and said, boy, because of you, generations, call it the Abrahamic blessing, the blessing of Abraham. And you know, you're still covered by that. Every now and then I remind God, I said, well, Lord, you told Abraham. When I look at my kids and my grandkids, because I'm not going to always be here. I used to get a little worried about that, but I don't worry about it so much anymore. But I know there's a blessing on their lives. But it's part of my responsibility to help them learn that, to live that, to be loyal to that. To love that. I love what God is doing in my life. I was expecting more amens. Okay, I love what God is doing in y'all life. Okay, that's better. Amen. I've seen God move on y'all. Amen. And I see him still move. You know why? He promised. And God keeps his promises. So he says, exalt him. He says, you people who worship, you worshipers, them who loves the Lord and rejoice. You ought to always be rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Do you know that you can determine the level of your depression by doing things that counter your depression? Can I tell you that in this life you're going to have trouble? And the story is told of a man who lost a young daughter, and they would go to their favorite restaurant and have dinner. And after they'd gone through some period of mourning, they went to the restaurant again, and he's sitting there and looking at the empty chair. And it hit him. Why am I so down about the empty chair when these other chairs are filled? Y'all get that? Don't let things depress you. You got to keep living. I'm not saying get over it. Let me tell you this one. There are some things that are going to happen to you in this life that you will never get over. But I preached a sermon some time ago that you don't have to go under while you're waiting to get over. You don't have to go. Don't let it kill you. Don't die because other folk died. Live because they died. And listen, let me give you another one. This is free. Don't you ever try to live for nobody else, because you got enough you to live for. You ain't got to try to take nobody's place. You can't take nobody's place. Live for you. God has enough. I've already told you, your destiny is determined. There's enough God for you that you can live the rest of your life and rejoice. I told y'all before, I used to cry prematurely. Think about the day that my dad and mom would leave here. You know, I used to sit down and get scared and get all shook up. And the Lord said to me one day, hey, boy, what is wrong with you? Live now. Build memories now. Enjoy them now. So when they're gone, you don't have to be dragging up the aisle of the church and falling all over the box. You can just smile. Stand there with your head up. Now, everybody's a little different. You may not be like me. Maybe you need to do something different. But I'm telling you now, I can't live for my father. I can't bring him back. Ain't nothing I can do. But what I can do is enjoy the God in me. And live. That's one of the things I told you. Live. How you live really talks about your relationship in God. It talks about your faith. It talks about your understanding. It talks about your trust. What did Solomon say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't let your heart get divided into little segments over life. Always let God have your whole heart. And you'll rejoice. Listen, folks will be looking at you like, girl, you just happy? I mean, yes, honey. But after what you've been through, oh, baby, I'm fine. And you don't have to fake being fine. Your faith will make you fine. Oh, yeah, faith is a fixer. Mm-hmm. In this life, you will have trouble. But be encouraged. I have overcome. You know what he said? He said, I got that. He said, I got it. And that's what God is saying to every one of you. Live. Trust me. When you don't trust God, you're doing yourself a disservice. You got to trust some people to a degree, but don't let their failures cause you to flake out on God. How many of you ever heard somebody say, I never thought so-and-so would do me like that? Then you fooled yourself. Everybody trip out every now and then. Look at your neighbor and say, I know that's right. Everybody's subject to trip out. You know, some of us just depend on what circumstances are as to how trippy we're going to be. Amen. Trust in the Lord, not man. You know, I'll tell you now, you ought to be very measured about how much you trust people. Be very measured. Look at them low, so close. And say, mm-hmm. But to trust God. So he says, those of you who worship him, those of you who love him, okay, my time is just about up. Let me go back and finish what I want to say. All this in one little scripture. Isn't that wonderful? He says, here's what you need to do. You need to remember that there have been miracles and there have been judgments. There are two things that you'd always expect from God. This is free. That there will be miracles, but there will be judgments. Nobody gets away unscathed. Come on, look at me. Don't look down now. I know you like to claim grace and mercy, but there are judgments. Tell your neighbor, God's going to have something to say about that. Mm-hmm. And see, what you do immediately, I felt your presence, you immediately start thinking of judgment as bad. Not all judgments are bad. What does Bob say? Bob said, after death comes the judgment. Some of us are going to be judged rather well. See, now you feel better about it. God's going to have something to say about it. Do you know that how you learn, live, listen, loyal, love, and are led has a lot to do with the judgment you're going to receive? Talk back to me, Pastor. I'm trying to help you. If you know you're loyal, your judgment's going to be wonderful. How many of you have ever been told that you had to go to management or the boss want to see you or whatever? And immediately you said, okay, because you knew you've been what? Loyal. You've done what you know. I ain't got to really be afraid when they need to see you. You get subpoenaed or something, you know, or the men, you look outside and see the sheriff calling your yard. You ain't got to run out the back door because you know I ain't done nothing. You go see what they try to police out there. Okay, fine. You got other people flushing toilets and throwing stuff out the back window and going up in the root cellar. And you just go to the door and say, can I help you? Because you know what? I ain't done nothing. They come to get me, they're going to get sued. Amen. Y'all, some of y'all think about what y'all, that hiding stuff got some of y'all messed up, ain't it? Lord, did I put that away? And here's what you need to understand. God's going to have something to say about that. God's going to have something to say about every deed that you do in this body. Why? Because you belong to him. How many of you have been told to mind your business and know you should have mind your business? But how many of you have told them, this is my business? You know, every now and then our children are smart up at us and try to tell about they grown and all. I said, no, you always my child. You know, every parent has the right to exercise that authority till death do you part. I'm grown now. No, you ain't grown that grown. You that grown, write me a check for all that stuff I did before. And then we'll sign a contract of release. But as long as you got breath in your body, that's old folk talk right there. Long as you got breath in your body, you gonna mind me. Grandma stand on the cane. Don't make me lift this thing up off the floor. And you don't want grandma to fall because she tried to hit you and your other siblings go, you made mama fall. Well, she tried to hit me. Well, what did you do to make her have to try to hit you? You know how that thing gets worked out. God's going to have something to say about this. You cannot ask God to just do the miracles and think he's going to excuse himself from the judgments. You do know that all of you are miracles. Amen. All of you in this room are a miracle. You ask my medical profession here about that whole process. That whole making babies thing is something else. That's a miracle. Some live, yet others die. That's a miracle. And some of us know that when we fell, we should have broke our neck. But we didn't. We got hit by that car. We walked away. That's a miracle. When you plug that thing in and it went boop and you didn't get electrocuted. You remember those fuse boxes with the little thing, them little glass, man, things always popping in. You remember when you left the gas on and didn't blow up the house? You remember when you set the house on fire and the house didn't burn down, Candace? What a miracle. Oh, yes, Candace, yeah. Set my house on. Helped us out, though, really, to be honest with you. Got stuff fixed that needed to be fixed. Thank you, Lord. So, the judgments, God's going to have something to say about it. So what is it? Okay, seven things that we were not supposed to do. Renege, resign, y'all remember? Run away, revolt, renounce, reject, and retire. Don't do those. God's going to have something to say about that. God's going to have something to say about when you talk about you going to help the choir and God, you going to usher and I'm going to do it. God's going to have, God said, oh, you reneged on me. I put that food on your table. Amen. I helped you with your babies. I kept that job for you. I got you through school. I let your hair grow back after you put them chemicals in it. I put your nails back after wearing them things too long. God said, all that stuff. I got you from New York to Virginia and back again. I gave you babies. I brought your health back. And you going to quit on me? You going to revolt against me because I had the man of God preach a sermon that made you mad and now you're going to swell up on me? Don't you try me like that. I hear God saying that today. Don't try me. How many of y'all have been told that? And you know it ain't never good when they say that. Whenever people say, don't try me, it ain't because it's nothing good is happening right now. Seven simple things, six new things. Learn. Listen. Be loyal. Live. Love. And follow leadership. How many know that you got to have somebody to get you out the wilderness? You can't get out by yourself. Because if you could, you'd have never been there in the first place. Who picks the wilderness to start anything? You need that. Am I helping you? You know, I really want you to understand something. That love is wonderful. And I love y'all. I love y'all, oh, till it make me hurt sometimes. But you can't keep fooling yourself. You're going to have to do what God called you to do, and I can't do it for you. And you can't not do it because certain people are not there at a given time. You can't pick and choose like that. Why? Because God is always God. Say that with me. God is always God. Yeah. Some of y'all didn't say it. We're going to try again. God is always God. Some of y'all still didn't say it. Thank you, man. God is always God. And can I tell you something? Y'all be glad he is. You ought to rejoice in that. Exalt his name. Y'all be glad about the fact that he's always God and always a good God. Y'all remember back in the 90s when that one came out, God is good? Y'all remember that one? That's not in the Bible. Somebody started that one and it took off. God is good and all the time. And some of us who said that know we haven't been loyal. We haven't been learning. But look what God has done to us. I remember when these two young ladies were like these two young ladies. I'm proud of them. They could be my daughters. I would adopt them. I ain't paying for no wedding, though. After you get married, then I'll adopt you back because, you know. But I love them. I think they're wonderful. I remember that young lady back yonder when she was just coming around because of that young fella right there. And I got their picture. You are one of the few people who has a picture in my house. It's on my dresser. Your husband gave it to me years ago. And isn't it there, honey? I love your family. And I keep looking at it saying they need to put Carrington. They got the Photoshop because Carrington's not in the picture. But I love y'all. Yeah. I have your picture in my office. One of the few people. Now, don't everybody start giving me pictures. But I mean, if you do, I'll keep. Trust me. But my point is simply this. I love y'all. I want y'all to do right by God because I know God is doing right by y'all. Don't get it twisted. God is faithful. And you ought to be faithful to him. You got to understand, those seven things are not Christian character, and it's not going to merit you. You can't quit on God. Why? Because God is always God. You got to keep learning. You're in a profession now, and Brother McKenzie, and you know, Tashin and Sean and all, you all are becoming, all of you have something that you've learned. Everybody, they've learned, you know. Which one of y'all play the violin? You do. Isn't that interesting that they're twins, but one has learned something that, can you play the violin? No. You all choked up about it too, aren't you? You poor dear. But my point is this, all of y'all are learning. Why not keep learning God? The Bible says he has given us the ability, and that thing can be filled in with all manner of things. Sister Harmony can bake. She's an excellent cook. Easy now, Jess. And so when she says, I'm making, you know, we get excited. We say, ooh, that's going to be good. And the same thing applies. All of you have these abilities. You see what I'm up against? Yours is just keep us on our toes. Everybody needs to keep learning God. And then understand that as you have learned, it was a direct influence of leadership. Don't be attracted to leadership outside the body of Christ, and then reject leadership within the body of Christ. You got it twisted. God first, then everything else. See, those things that we're trying to do now are going to be exampled in the next generation. Where we fail now, we're going to pay for it. And I'm convinced that that's part of what's happening to the church now. We made some serious errors in allowing people to be free thinkers that led the church was a better church than the option to go to church. What are you saying, Pastor? Those of us who were made to go made a better church than them who said, well, if you don't want to go, I'll let you make up your own mind. Children crazy. They don't know how to make up their mind. You know how I know children crazy? Because grown folk crazy. Grown folk don't make good decisions. Then you don't turn that over to a child to make a decision about the Lord. No, you're going to do like I do. Amen. So six good, seven bad. We'll talk some more. Lord, say the same. Amen. Did I help you a little bit? Oh, my goodness. Look, it's gotten late. Nobody warned me. I was right at the moment and then making my closing remarks, and it took 15 more minutes. I'm just long-winded. Right along there, somebody said, no, Pastor, you are right. It's okay. It's fine. We appreciate it. But no, you didn't do it. It's too late now. It's too late. Let's pray together. God, our Father, thank you for these moments we've had to share. Thank you, God, for causing us to look at ourselves honestly. You're always God. That's the good news. That's really the good news. Now the troubling news may be that we're not always loyal to God. We're not always listening. We're not always learning. And so, God, today, we want to change that, and we're going to make it our business today to correct some bad behavior. We're going to look inside ourselves and clean up the house a little bit and learn better and live better, love better, you know, those things. That's what we're going to do. In fact, God, we're going to do it greater.